in Stockholm. Go back and research how they treat Bantus. There's some great YouTubes on that by some of those Bantus telling you what it's like to be an African-African, a black African, a sub-Saharan black African in Somalia among these Arab black Somalis. You are treated like a slave, like dirt, and worse. I want to talk about what I think. This is me. This is Kelso, my peanut gallery thought. I think Donald Trump is teaching us in the Patriot movement that's been around for decades. He's teaching us something. And this will be something part of our discussion going on years into the future. Donald Trump has made a breakthrough in the Patriot cause. This is obvious. He's taken something that we had, a voice that we had that was reaching thousands of people, and that's all, not millions. We were reaching thousands. And he's turned it into reaching billions of people. He's reaching the whole world. He's done something. Is it possible that Donald Trump has done something a little differently from what we've been doing for decades that has more potential for success? I think there is. We'll take a break, and then I'm going to come right back to this topic.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Truth, 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 truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
Welcome back, folks. Let me pick up the point I was making right before the break. I think Donald Trump has a lot to teach us, a lot, including on how to present our message. How do we present the racial realist message? That's one of the terms that we have come up with in our movement. We call ourselves racial realists, a bunch of us. I don't actually know who in our movement coined it. It might have been Jared Taylor. That's a very good term. And why has, let's ask the question, why has Donald Trump succeeded exponentially more greatly than we have in all these decades? What caused the Donald Trump breakout? I think one of his lessons that he's teaching us is that on the subject of race, when we talk about other races, and I conclude myself here among this group, needs to learn this, maybe a stylistic tune-up. Be proud that you're white. Donald Trump clearly is. But don't be kind of watch it on the contempt, the tone of contempt for other races and other peoples. And there are some very prominent race realists who are adopting this different tone, and I think they've got it right. That is, you'll see that Donald Trump says, I'm going to be the president of everybody in the United States, not the president of the world, but I'm going to be a president for all of the American people. And I'm going to make life better for Mexican Americans and for American blacks, the descendants of those 300,000 slaves, sadly brought across by people like Thomas Jefferson's parents and George Washington's parents and grandparents. Universal practice all over the world, but sadly, as brilliant as these men were, they weren't that brilliant that they were able to cut this institution off and stop it on the docks there in Charleston and send these boats of Africans back to Africa. They couldn't do everything in one fell swoop.
I'll mention my friend David Duke. Watch David Duke's videos, and he talks frankly
and respectfully to blacks and to Mexican Americans and to all peoples. And the way, you know, sort of a new way to present the message is, we want all peoples, we respect all peoples, we want all peoples to realize their full potential. We want them to preserve themselves, to cherish and preserve their traditions, their genetic, unique genetic identity, everything about themselves, to preserve it, fight for it. That's a winning technique. Now, Donald Trump is following that style, and the so I'm making the point that if we it's possible in our anger at to sound as if we're lashing out at other races, at other people, and that the main liability created by that style is it actually turns off not other races and other people. That's not the problem. It turns off our fellow whites. That is where Donald Trump has had the right touch. He hasn't turned off our fellow whites. He's offering clearly a race realist message. America first. That's a great slogan. Charles Lindbergh used it. Henry Ford used it. America first. Let's take care of Americans. Lieutenant General Flynn was using that phrase. But not getting so... That's a good sales message. We want to make Donald Trump in recent days, he's been saying, we want the streets of America to be safe for everybody. We want African Americans, we want black Americans to be able to send their kids to school on the streets in their neighborhoods without fear and in safety. That's a very smart message. It's smart, not because it's smart, it's persuasive to black Americans, but because it's persuasive to white Americans. It's a generous, kind-hearted approach that appeals to our very nature as white people. The reason those Somalians are in Sweden is because we're so kind. It's in our genetic code. We're so generous to a fault. We actually invite invaders into our midst because we're feeling sorry for them. What a mistake. But it's derived from our own generosity. That's a trait that's in us. If we don't look generous, if we don't look kind, we're not going to be persuasive. Kevin McDonald, one of the directors of the American Freedom Party, has noted this fact. But I think Donald Trump, I'd love to, in a colloquy here on the air, talk with Dr. McDonald about this. Donald Trump is doing this on a magnificent scale, and he's created the breakout. You know, it's possible for us, George, in our movement to think, well, we're the teachers and Donald Trump's the student. Well, that street might go both ways. What do you think, George?
Fascinating topic that I hope we get to talk about for the rest of our lives. A few observations. The biggest thing you just said was Donald Trump said, I'm going to be president of the United States and not president of the whole world. Well, that's ugly treason for anybody in the billionaire class. So he's persona non grata throughout the billion and trillionaire class for suggesting that sovereignty should exist anywhere in the world. That's pretty big. Race question, you know, should we act charitable to the other races in the country? Well, we damn well better. There's millions of them here. And this is George's opinion. You know, I'm a close watcher of the WN movement. We have been a magnificent total failure for 60 years, especially the last 40, 30, 20, 10. And you know, there's plenty of people in the movement that, you know, wants to, well, we'll just say it's been a colossal failure. Trump, he's shown that he understands that. Whether he learned from us or we're learning from him, it's the way to go. And finally, the third prong in that, he's the first guy in the billionaire trillion rank to break ranks. He can say what he wants without going to prison. You and I can't. No one in the movement can't. Even big groups of us, if we had a big party, we still can't. We can't protect our interests at all. We're totally outmanned and outgunned. And Trump, he is a hero. There's a lot of people in our movement that don't like that. They're going, I'm suddenly not important anymore. And guess what? They're right. It's follow Trump or die.
Well, yeah. Now, this is, you know, what any great teacher, what is the most gratifying moment for any great teacher? And again, I don't want to say that we're the teachers here entirely, but I'm just using this as a metaphor and as an analogy. The most gratifying thing for a teacher is to be surpassed by his student. The great, great teacher is the one who is not offended by the fact that his student has gone beyond what the teacher taught, it was hugely pleased. Well, our little movement has been eclipsed by Donald Trump, the Trump phenomenon. And it's as if the our little tugboat just had the aircraft carrier. What's the new one? There's a couple new ones that are being built. I think the Gerald Ford is a new one.
Ford. Read about it on RBN, all the things that don't work on the USS Gerald Ford.
Well, we'll pick a different one. But, as the Enterprise very gently goes by a little fishing boat so as not to capsize it, that's really what's happening with the Trump phenomenon. And this is good. We should be happy about this. We in the American Freedom Party, you know, like when we talk on this show about the American Freedom Party, we're not equating our magnitude with that of the Trump phenomenon.
But we should not shrink ourselves either, James, because Donald Trump was not there for us 18 months ago. He is now. That's a good thing. But there's been nothing out there for the last 60 years but our movement. And we've done the best we could, and all we could do is go underground, publish stuff, keep records of everything so that if we ever got our chance to break out again, at least we've had literature that has the truth in it. Maybe we can organize again. Well, Trump has shown up at the scene, and this is our chance, and it's absolutely true. We're one and done. We succeed now, or we are toast.
Yeah, and you just heard it, that function George is talking about of getting the word out. Chuck Woolery, the host of Wheel of Fortune, okay, he's talking about cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxists are our enemy. They're at Columbia.
I loved it. So, Chuck, Mr. Woolery, wherever he is, I don't know if he sat and thought about it, but the night before going, I'm going to go on the air and talk about the Frankfurt School. If he had done that 6 years ago, Mr. Woolery would be looking for new work.
Yeah. And where did he? I don't think Chuck Woolery. It's certainly not true in my case. I didn't do original research and realize that cultural Marxists were our enemy. I learned.
He did.
It from
he read our literature.
Yep.
We are important. Our literature has made it out to a limited extent, and it's amazing that the Chuck Woolery's. There's lots of people out there who have read our stuff. Now we've had to go about it underground, but that's been worth a whole lot. And we've had 60 years to do it, and it is, I'm one of them. 40 years ago, I never heard of this stuff. But little by little, I subscribed, and I got myself a Nationalist Times or a First Freedom or an XYZ, and I read them because it was still legal, even though they were totally obscure. So Mr. Woolery, obvious, he could not have come to that conclusion unless he was reading the same stuff we are.
Yes. And let's include Donald Trump with Chuck Woolery. Donald Trump has clearly read something. He's read a lot, and it includes a lot of our stuff. So this is actually what we should hope for, is that this big giant aircraft carrier should sail by us, and we just have to be careful not to be overturned in the wake.
Well, we're not going to be overturned. I've been dying to say this for a long time. If the gods smile on us and Trump wins, now we have a window, and a pretty short one, at the most 8 years, maybe four. We need to fix our bloody movement. Our movement has some well-meaning people, but it has been a total frickin' failure for 60 years. And you used a word, introspection. There's got to be a realignment in the nationalist movement. And thank goodness Trump has come along and forced the movement to do that. But it'll start 20 minutes after he gets elected. So we better get to work, because time is going to still be short.
Yeah. And you know, Trump, as a businessman, as a man who, you know, gets things done. Here's a quote. He said, I hope we'll have time to go back to this. He says, fixing things is what I do. That's what I do. That's what I will do for our country, but on a very, very large scale. And then he said, a few minutes later, he said, everything broken in our country can be fixed. All we have to do is tune out the doubters, naysayers, and cynics.
And it's not as easy as it sounds. Tuning out the doubters, naysaying, and cynics, to me that also implies doing your thing without being persecuted by political correctness. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
If Trump does anything, and if he takes over, if he truly can extinguish political correctness, that's the greatest revolution in world history.
Yes. Yeah. And the and again, I don't want to be, I'm not going to put myself out there as a critic of all these good patriots who, and I say very understandably, could get bitter. They could get very angry. They could get completely bent out of shape. With what's been done to our people, all of those reactions are very understandable, and there's no reason to have any contempt or look down on people who've gone that route. But we have a moral duty to win. And like Trump, a builder, he's got the building, it's going to be 90 stories tall. It's got to stand up. It's got to work. You have to fix the problems. The foundation has to be sound. You can't just speculate about these things. So he's a man who gets things done, and he solves problems. He says, I see, this is another quote, just paraphrase. He says, I see problems as opportunities. He says, that's what I've done. I hope I get to this audio in a minute. He says, look at my career. I've found areas where something was wrong, and I saw that not as a problem, but as an opportunity. An underutilized building, you know, something that people had overseen, overlooked, and I stepped in, I saw the opportunity, and he said, America is so full of opportunity. There's so much that we can do if only we will realize it.
Another way of saying that America is so screwed up that it'll take us 25 years to even make it recognizable again.
Right. And we're not talking about compromise, folks. I was searching there for my point, and here it is. To those of you that are worrying, well, is Kelso going soft? No. When Trump says we don't need Muslims in America, that's pretty hardcore, folks. When he says that Mexico is sending us their rapists, folks, that's pretty strong talk.
I love it, James. I love your examples.
See
if I can say it. If we hypothetically got the most white nationalist leader in the world to take over next January 20th, it would be indistinguishable from what Trump is going to do. He's going to do exactly our program. So for all intents and purposes, he is us.
And well, what he's not doing, folks, this may be, again, if I can, this is we're talking about fine distinctions here and fine-tuning our message. What he's not doing is, he's not jumping up and down and screaming. He's not being so obvious that you have to repeat, let's say, some certain point as if people don't get it. People get it. I like what Lieutenant General Flynn said. He said, Americans are smart. We get it. And we see through these lies that are being given to us. You don't have to spell it out every time, this is what Tucker Carlson, he was afraid on that couch. Chuck Willer was saying, the cultural Marxists are our enemy, .. Oh, don't go any further than that, Chuck. Carlson, when you get utterly explicit and you say it over and over again, your sales point actually can diminish in its effectiveness. If you start to look mean, or you start to look so bent out of shape that the average American pulls away.
Right. And then the flip side of that, James, is the other side has been doing that to us for so long that they do look nasty and mean right now.
Yeah. Let's go. I've been talking about Donald Trump so much here. Now we've got another caller, a couple callers, Chris in Las Vegas and Mike in Tennessee. We're going to get to you, folks. Let's go back to Donald Trump. I hate spending too long just talking by myself without us, George.
Well, I was talking too, James. That was that's a great topic. I hope we can come back to it after the election and we win.
Yep, yep. Let's see if we can pick up some more of this great stuff from Donald Trump. I've got the timeline here. Let me just get back into that. You can imagine the huge staff I hear and have here at the Trump Phenomenon American Freedom Party Report studios here in our tall skyscraper building. I have secretaries scrambling around right now trying to organize this audio. I'm
bringing with your golden microphone.
Golden microphone, yeah. If you could only see, folks, we got a break. We'll be back right after that.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me,
"We're back, folks."
Any man can be a fool.
And you know, George, I'm having such a good time in this show. I've actually lost track of, are we in our third hour already?
Yes, Kimosabi, we're in our third hour.
My gosh.
37 minutes to make sure we get all these good callers in.
Yeah. This is good stuff, folks. Let's listen to Donald Trump just a little bit here. And he's making this point that I was making, or I was paraphrasing. Let's hear the man himself say it. And I'm going to look for that audio where he says that fixing things is what I do. Here it comes. Let's see here. We'll find it. It's right here. Let's see here. Coming up. Let's see here. I think we got it right there. Listen closely. Let the YouTube catch up with us here. Let's see here. This is homemade. This is homemade mass media here, folks. Oh, I see. We got hit by an ad. Let me get through that ad. And there we go. Now let's listen into Donald Trump.
Anymore. Government will start working again. Fixing things is what I do. Just look at my projects in New York City, where I turn rundown spaces into new centers of business, activity, and opportunity. Where others saw only problems, I saw tremendous potential. We turned empty lots into homes, offices, and living memories for thousands of workers and their families. That's what I do, and that's what I will continue to do for our country, but on a very, very big scale, believe me. I want to go into our neglected neighborhoods, the failing schools, the forgotten stretches of this nation, and unlock their potential for all of our people. I've made a living for years looking at unused spaces and imagining what they could be. It's been a great living. Politicians look at blighted neighborhoods and offer only excuses. And by the way, all they want is the vote. In the inner city in particular, give us your vote and then we'll see you in 4 years. That's what it is. They do nothing. I look at those same neighborhoods and offer solutions. Everything broken today can be fixed. All we have to do is tune out the doubters, the cynics, and the naysayers. And there are plenty of them. We are a nation of strivers, dreamers, and believers. And that's the spirit that will carry us to victory in November and to great victories as a nation. We will be respected again as a nation. It's that same spirit of resilience I've seen visiting the flood-ravaged towns in Louisiana or meeting with the incredible but hard-hit people in cities and towns like Flint, Michigan. What a shame. What a shame what they've done in Flint. Spent hundreds of millions of dollars to destroy the water system. If they would have left it alone, it would have been okay. Hundreds of millions of dollars, and now they're going to need hundreds of millions of dollars more. And it used to be where the cars were made in Flint, and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Today, the cars are made in Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint, Michigan. No good, folks. No good. We're going to turn it around. But that means you need to show up and vote on November 8th. You have to show up. You have to knock on doors. You have to pick up that phone. You have to campaign on the streets, spread the love that we have. This is a movement like nobody's ever seen before in this country. Spread the love that we have in this room. To beat the system, you have to lift your voice, pound the pavement, and get out and vote and get all your friends out to vote.
There it was, folks. We got a break here. George and I will be back, and we'll get to our callers, Mitzi, Mike, and Chris. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
Attention CPAP users. Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train. Invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's nomask.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love.
Chris near Las Vegas. I think that's the three we've got lined up right now. I think Chris has the microphone. Chris, are you there?
Well, of course, just Chris. Deplorable me is here today as usually.
Well, what's on your mind, on your irredeemable mind today?
Well, a couple of different things. One, I think the Trump team, the special investigators or researchers, could definitely take some notes from Susan Lindauer, an excoriated whistleblower from the so-called Clinton State Department's NSA or CIA. She had a couple of really intriguing desks. In fact, Dolly Kyle, which was one of the original, maybe the first victim of the Clinton assassination team of woman-hating and abusing females, as they've traditionally habitually done. She is very articulate. I think she might be schooled in law now, and she has done a marvelous job of exposing on the covert report with Susan Lindauer.
Chris, let me give you the even better news. Very close to Donald Trump, knowing him for years, decades, has been Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is all over the Patriot media. I'm holding in my hands now. I bought this just a while ago. The Clinton's War on Women by Roger Stone. It's a big book. It's got color pictures in the middle. It's 430 pages long. He's got it all in here. And so the real story about the Clinton's War on Women, and here's a dedication here by Ann Coulter. This horror story includes all the worst moments in the Clinton's War on Women. So great news, Chris. You know, the chief has got the message. It's right there in person. The people around him have got this message, and they're the ones teaching us. I'm learning about the Clinton's War on Women from Roger Stone. So,
absolutely. Roger Stone and Larry Nichols are two of the deep insiders that have been on the trail for many, many years. There is one other. Today's issue that she had that she did an interview with was Jerome Corsi and Les Jameson. And the second half of that, they just really tear her up. Now, Corsi's been following John Kerry and some of the other antics of the Clinton gang for over 40 years. And he's kept some stuff under wraps about the John Kerry, Hank Cohan, Secretary of State, that picked up where Hillary Clinton left off and continued the same old shakedown. Enrich themselves at the expense of the U.S. government and make foreign deals to sell out America on a continuing plan to destroy this country.
Yes. And, and Chris, you know, you're doing something. This is wonderful. I love you, buddy. You're doing something that we in our movement have done. I'll connect this dot. We have been so unheard and we felt so frustrated that our message didn't get out, that those of us in this Patriot cause, we, in years past, George, you'll recognize this, we feel, you know, we're so frustrated that every time we get a chance to say anything, we try to say everything. We try to get the whole message out every time we open our mouths out of frustration.
Yes.
And what Trump is teaching us is that we don't have to do that. That you can say a piece of it, and then, you know, you don't have to think, wow, this is my only chance I'll ever have. I got 30 seconds to put it all in. But now we've got years, Chris.
Well, he has to win. If Trump wins, we'll be able to go on the offensive right away. If he doesn't, it's going to take us another bunch of years of misery to come up with a second chance.
We'll have to go to Plan B. And, folks, we've got a Plan B here at the Trump Phenomenon Show. We're going to be, Chris, we're going to be on the air, thanks to John Stapmiller and people that keep the network alive. We'll be on the air even if Trump loses, and we'll go to Plan B. We'll have to figure out what Plan B is, but we'll go to Plan B if he loses. Chris, thank you so much for calling. I apologize for having to get a
couple.
One
little thing before closing, if you don't mind,
yes.
James. I still remember myself seeing John Kerry, Hanoi Jane Fonda over there with the North Vietnamese plotting against the American people. I remember that very clearly, these traitors to America who have snuck themselves into our government. Thank you so much. God bless America. Make America great again.
Thank you, Chris. And a little funny Kelso story. I remember Jane Fonda. I used to rollerblade on the beach in Santa Monica. And one day I was rollerblading down the bike path there on the beach. And I came up behind a man and a woman. And I said, gee, it's them. And I pulled up next to Ted Turner and Jane Fonda, who were taking a walk on the bike path down there on the beach. And I got a chance to talk to Jane, who they lived just a block away, really, from where I was living. But there they were, and got a chance to talk to Ted and Jane. Let's go to Mike in Tennessee. Mike, the microphone's yours if you're still there. And if the engineer can't find Mike, we'll go to Mitzi. Mike may be at the refrigerator. Is that you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Yeah, I had muted it. There was some background noise while I was listening, and so I hit the mute, and I totally forgot. My apologies.
Oh, come on. Tell the truth. You went to the refrigerator.
The reason I'm calling, I called, I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you a very important question, and you never answered my question, and I was hoping that perhaps it was just an oversight. I was going to ask it again and hope that you'd give me a genuine, honest answer.
Do it. Give me the question. Don't give me the preface.
Okay. If you had only one of two options, to either live free with a red man or be a slave to a white man, you could choose, which would you choose?
Well, that's like asking, say, if you had to kill one of your parents, would it be your mom or your dad? That's a question that doesn't work, Mike.
So in other words, you would reject
Mike, the question doesn't work. It's from outer space, okay?
It's a very relevant question. It just solidifies those people that were curious as to how much of a racist you really were. Would you rather be a slave than be free with a red man? And you've answered the question by not answering.
No, I haven't. I haven't answered the question. Mike, it's such a I'll use a fancy word on you. It's a turgid question, okay? It's a trick question, okay? I gave the example. If you had to kill one person, would you kill your mom or your dad, okay? It's a non-question. It's like
you would equate living with a red man as taking a life.
No, see, you're going to I haven't even contemplated your question, Mike, because it's a silly question. You're going to draw conclusions and inferences, and that's the point of your question. You're trying to, therefore this. Instead of asking me about a red man, would I rather live with this, an unreal thing, ask me a real question in the real world. Would I like to have Donald Trump as my president? That's a real question in the real world. Do I dread the prospect of Hillary Clinton as president? Yes, I do. You don't need to go to some bizarre hypothetical. Why is that important to you? It's a hypothetical question. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's a very legitimate question because you would rather be a slave than live with a red man because you won't answer the question. You've answered the question.
No, okay.
You would rather not live with me. You would rather not live with me and be free.
Okay. I forgot, Mike. Pardon me, I forgot. You're an American Indian, right?
I'm Native American, yeah.
Okay. Are you?
I'm not an Indian. Indians are from India.
Okay.
I'm
use your word.
I'm a true American. Realize the way as I said before, if the white people, they're not white. I mean, seriously, there's no such thing as the right.
Well, see, now you're going
race.
There again. Mike.
Sounds like we need to move on here, James.
We need to move on. We certainly do need to move on. George,
good night, Mike.
Sounding the gong, yeah. We'll have another show for turgid questions. Look that word up, and and let me say this. When I say David Yeagley, I think in our last conversations, Mike,
if you're listening.
Yeah, you went over that, and Mike didn't want to hear it, so I haven't listened.
Read David Yeagley.
Get your own show, mate. They're expensive. If you have a bone to pick, that's great, and I'll be the first to call your show.
Yeah, okay. Read David Yeagley, the great-grandson of Chief Bad Eagle, who is it's now gone, but he is a friend and a great patriot, David Yeagley. Read David Yeagley. That's my take on the American Indian or Native American, use the term you prefer. That's out of respect, of course. And read what David Yeagley said about the noble fight of the red man to fight the white man. A fight that David Yeagley said the white man won. And the white man has given us a great civilization, and there are white men. There is such a thing as a white race, Mike. There really is. And there are Native Americans. Really, your people really exist. And let's go next. There you go. Let's go to
Mitzi.
We have Mitzi, but there's also Kathleen in Texas. We may have lost Mitzi. Engineer, give me Kathleen or Mitzi. Okay, Mitzi, you're on the air.
This is Mitzi.
Hi, Mitzi.
Hi, James. I just wanted to add to your show today about Donald Trump's message about making America great for all Americans. That message is resonating with black leadership. This week, with the big problems in Charlotte, North Carolina, the riots and the looting and the violence, Martin Luther King's niece was interviewed, and she said that the only candidate that's in the election of 2016 that's giving Americans hope, all Americans hope, for jobs and opportunity and the American dream was Donald Trump. So, you know, he has the right message, and this is what's making Hillary worried, is that black Americans are automatically supposed to vote for her because, you know, that's what they always do. But there's, you know, maybe almost 20% now that are saying, you know, we've had Obama, a black president, for 8 years, and are we better off or worse off? And also, you know, Obama's like a race hustler. Race relations are worse than ever. And any liberal who's worried about, you know, being a racist, and race does matter, and they live in Charlotte, which is pretty upscale. I have friends who live there. They were prisoners this week, and they're very liberal, and they just think that, you know, anybody who, you know, says, you know, anything about being, you know, anything about whites or anything like that is just, that's just taboo. They're not talking like that this week after
Mitzi?
They haven't leave their houses.
Mitzi, you bring up something that's, the theme that you're bringing up is obvious things. You're talking wonderfully about obvious things. And this goes to Mike. And Mike, this is a respectful answer to you. And we'll tie this all together. And the whole idea that Trump is teaching us something. Look at the audience at that event yesterday in Roanoke. Look at the audience all around and all those hundreds of people behind Donald Trump. What do you see? What do you see, Mike? They're white. Those are white people. Look at the Republican Party. What is the Republican Party now? Look at all the members and so on. What is it?
Well, James, what she's getting to is Trump got a very strong black endorsement from a very black figure called Dr. Martin Luther King's niece.
Yep, and I'm going to connect to that in just a moment. The Republican Party, it's a white party, okay? Now, what Donald Trump is doing in being very respectful to other peoples and other races, this is white. The Trump revolution is white people waking up. That's what it is. Okay, that's an obvious thing. It's obvious. White people are waking up. They don't want to be dispossessed. But
it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But what is Trump doing in relation to other peoples? There aren't a lot of black people. There aren't a lot of Mexicans and Hispanics. There aren't a lot of American Indians or Native Americans, Mike, in the crowd there. But he's very respectful of them. And he's outperforming right now. Here's some good news.
Is Donald Trump doing well with Hispanic voters right now? Yes, he's outperforming Mitt Romney. Now, he's not trying to get 51% of Hispanic voters. If he can get 10%, that's 20%, that's enough. Same with the black vote. That helps him win. He's got to get some votes. The smartest, the most awake, alert, or conscientious folks in other races will appreciate that the white race wants to survive, and it's in their interest that we do. So this is a white movement, Mike in Colorado and everybody else. But we want to do it with, respectfully with other races. We want to have good relations. Donald Trump wants to have good relations with all the nations of the world, as George Washington counseled in his farewell address. But he wants us to be sovereign and independent, and he wants it to be America first. I'll give another example. That's very, Mitzi, that's very interesting about Martin Luther King's niece. Here's another one that came out this weekend. There's a new group called Trumpocrats. Trumpocrats, meaning Democrats who are for Trump. Christian Rickers is the founder of Trumpocrats. He's the executive director. He was an Obama delegate in 2008 and 2012. He was a Bernie Sanders man last year. And here's what he has said about this idea we're talking about. It's in the interest of other races, and it's in the interest of liberals and left-wingers that Trump become the president. Here's what Christian Rickers said on TV yesterday. Our country has been hollowed out, and nobody has been more responsible for this than Bill and Hillary. They want to go to war. They're warmongers. Now, this is now paraphrasing. And this left-wing liberal, Christian Rickers, a Bernie Sanders man, he's going to vote. He's formed a group to vote for Donald Trump because he's going to keep our nation at peace. And he's got at least enough brains to realize that's better for him, even as a liberal. He's better off alive than dead in a Hillary Clinton World War III. And so are Native Americans, so are blacks, so are Mexican Americans. So I think I hope I connected some dots there. And Mitzi, thank you as always for calling in. Let's look. Thank you, Mitzi. Now we've only got a few minutes left, folks. We might go to a break here and have one more segment, but let's tie it all together with a bow, George, as we head into Hofstra University tomorrow and the debate. This is going to be something tomorrow night. When you come back to our show tomorrow night, folks, the debate at Hofstra, which is on Long Island in Nassau County, just a few miles east of New York City, we will all be witness to history. So we'll probably be cutting in and out of the debate. George will be with us. I hope Paul is able to join us. And get ready for one hell of a show tomorrow. What say you, George?
Well, it's going to keep me awake tonight. But bring it on. Trump is shown in the high-pressure situations like this. We're all pulling our hair out going, what dirty trick are they going to do? X, Y, Z. And every time we think that, he outsmarts us in spades.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what Roger Stone said once. Somebody was asking, they were nitpicking, a caller was nitpicking Donald Trump, saying, oh, you know, this guy or that guy, this advisor, he's a bad guy, he's a traitor, this guy, that guy. And Roger Stone said, hey, stop. Donald Trump's a whole hell of a lot smarter than I am. He's a great man. The reason I know, you don't need to worry about some stumble. He's got the wrong advisor, the wrong this. He's a genius. He's a brilliant man. Nobody pushes him around. Nobody's going to fool him. The reason I know the Trump administration is going to be a great one is because I know Donald Trump. He's a great man. So the and he understands. He knows what we're talking about. So there you go, folks. Tomorrow night, out of Hofstra University, the Lester Holt is going to be the host. The ground rules are great. No cutting the mic, no moving the camera. If Hillary has a seizure, a coughing fit, a freak out, she gets angry, it's all going to be right there on camera. And folks like Pat Buchanan and everybody else giving Donald Trump advice, peanut gallery advice, which he probably doesn't need, is just stay cool, follow the Clint Eastwood model. One of your endorsers, Clint Eastwood, just be very cool there and say, well, what'll it be, punk? You know, all this excitement, I clean near forgot whether I did I fire.
Trump is very good at ignoring advice from the peanut gallery, and it served him very well.
I can't remember whether I've got a round left. I'm just paraphrasing because I forget the actual line. But, you know, so what are you going to do, punk?
Are you feeling lucky today?
So, Hillary, are you feeling lucky today? That's the tone.
Trump actually said that. That would end the debate instantly. She would turn around and run away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. I don't know. I don't know how we can top any of that. Engineer, do we have any more callers? Do we need to get in? No? Let's look at a couple more, just a little bit of good news here on the screen. Let's go to there are great polls out yesterday and today. It's all breaking well for the Patriot cause. Let me oh, okay. Well, let's squeeze two callers in.
No. Kathleen.
Okay. Let's get them all. Kathleen, you only have seconds. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Jamie, George, and Paul. I would like the owner of the station to give you an extra hour tomorrow so we don't all have to tune away. So I hope somebody's out there that will lobby for that. And I really do enjoy the camaraderie of the three of you. So
thanks, Kathleen!
We want to have another hour tomorrow at least.
Well, Kathleen...
All right. God love
Kathleen,
you.
Well, God love you. Kathleen, thank you for the generosity of what you have to say there. We love you. I wouldn't presume to change the schedule or anything or step on another host's show. So I don't know what to say in that regard. You know, we can all listen to the completion of the debate.
Well, we'll be able to catch up later in the week, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, Kathleen, but thank you. That's an extraordinary thought. Here are these great polls. The LA Times USC poll that we've been following, Trump is up by 4 now, 4 points. That's as of right now, today, Trump 46, Clinton 42. Beautiful. Trump is up in a bunch of the battleground states. That's very good. In the Rasmussen poll, let me go to that one. That was out. That's the latest Rasmussen poll. Trump up by 5. Trump 44, Clinton 39, Johnson 8, Gary Hu Johnson, and Jill Stein up by 5. So all very good news. Here's another one. Find another one here. Well, the state polls, we don't have time for those, but Donald Trump's up in a bunch of state polls. And what it boils down to, folks, is this. It kind of comes down to one state. Which one it'll be, we don't know. Colorado, if Colorado goes for Trump, he's president. It's that close. If Michigan goes for Trump, he's president. There are at least 5 different states that Hillary has to win. Trump only needs to win one of those, like Michigan, like Colorado, New Hampshire. If Trump wins New Hampshire, he's president on the current electoral count that's out there on the internet. So,
and one last appeal. Nigel Farage, or not him, who's Assange. Julian, yes. Assange, do your thing.
Yeah, drop the hammer, Julian. Drop it now. We'll see you all tomorrow night. I'll be losing sleep too, George. So long.